Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Katie Ray, head of community at Metadata. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Katie.
Hey, thanks, Joel. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited for the discussion today and getting into some of the nitty gritty of community. So that's going to be really fun.
Yes. So let's jump right into it. Would you please give everyone a quick 30-second intro about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Katie Ray. I live out in lovely Windy West, Texas. And I'm the head of community over at Metadata, like Joel said. We are currently building the only community for demand gen marketers called Demand. And I've helped participate in communities over at Clary and Sales Hacker and PLG and a few other organizations. And it's been really fun. So I'm excited to talk about building and processes and then good old ROI. So this is going to be a really good discussion today.
Yes. But again, we're going to take a step back. And before we get into those fun pieces, I want to know how you as a candidate learned and decided that Metadata was serious about building a community program and dedicating resources to it, because I think that is a very big challenge and something that community professionals need to know and be armed with.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is huge because so often as a community professional, we get really excited. We like the people, we like the brand, we like what's happening. And we kind of buy into some of these false pretenses. We don't really look underneath the books of what's actually happening. And so some things that kind of caught my eye originally, I didn't actually apply for the job at first. The CEO and the head of or the VP of marketing, Jason and Gil, they had actually reached out. And so just like how I always encourage people, if you're looking for a job, just send a message to that hiring manager. It's always going to make you look a lot more appealing. You're putting that best foot forward. You're being, you know, you're showing leadership, all these things, like same thing. And so it was really cool for me to be like searched for and all that stuff. That was really fun. And I remember being like, sure, I'll take a call. I'm not really looking, but if I know somebody, I can always help you with that. And so whenever I got on a call with Jason, he was like, we're building a community. We are so excited. We're going to make this happen. It's going to be the best thing. And if you guys know anything about Metadata, you know, they are rock stars. I mean, the marketing team, it's outstanding, the stuff that they put out. And so I was like, this is cool. And at the time, I had never heard of the company. And so I was like, well, you know, let's kind of think about this. I need to do a little research. And we ended up just continuing that conversation over the next few weeks. And I finally was talking to my husband, like, oh, I think this company is really serious because they had a plan. They knew that they were going to do this with or without me. And so that I think was huge, because if your plan is contingent on hiring you, I don't know like how serious they are at that point, right? If it's not, and they're like, this is going to happen with or without you, then I think it's fair to say like, oh, they're pretty serious. Like they're going to make this happen. And their history of making things happen is pretty deep. And so I felt really comfortable with that. I also felt really comfortable with what their mission was for the community and how they were planning on growing it. It was very non-traditional, you could say. Literally on my first call, they said, we're going to build it in 3 weeks. And I said, you are insane. You don't have a community manager. You don't have a platform. You don't have any type of strategy or game plan. Like you're out of your mind. So like that was a little bit of a red flag. But then they were kind of like, well, that's why we want you, because you know what you're doing and you can make this happen. And so that I thought was something that was like a really cool little moment in that conversation, because they saw the value that I could bring. And I think that's something you should always look for is, you know, do they have a plan in place? Do they see you as a valuable enough asset that can make or break that plan? And so like, those were some of the things that I started thinking about whenever we were going through that process. And we talked about budget. And so at least understanding that, I had been at places before where oh yeah, we've got all this budget and all this support. And then you actually go inside and you finally talk to those people once you're hired and you're like, there's no budget or support, or your budget is instead being shared with other teams. Instead, the conversations that I had was, well, I want to talk to people who you think I would be directly interacting with. And there was no hesitancy to have those conversations. And so that was like another green light for me of, wow, like one, if they're willing to be this transparent with me, then obviously they have nothing to hide, or whatever would be a red flag, I'm able to see ahead of time and I can better understand why it's there or what they're planning to do with it. And if either of those answers don't fit what I'm looking for, then it's on to the next. So those are some things that kind of helped me understand like how serious they actually were with building it. Because once again, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the brand and the excitement and get lost in that.
For sure. And I love the fact that you touched on kind of both sides of that coin of your red flags and your green lights. So thank you very much for that. And now we get to get into processes. So what was the process for deciding how to build demand, Metadata's community, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I want to preface this and probably my experience needs to be prefaced with my initial experience with Metadata. I just like anyone, you give 2 weeks. And so I said, okay, well, I could start at this date once I give my 2 weeks. And they said, perfect. We're going to Estes Park, Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park that Monday. So that would be your start date. We need you to meet us in Colorado. And I said, absolutely. This sounds lovely. And so I hop on the plane. I stop in Dallas, go over to Denver, I think. And I'm sitting at the rental car place and I'm just texting with these people that I've never met. Only one of them was a part of my interviews. And so I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. Two of them were a part of my interviews and, in the group text I'm in, I don't even have the names to the phone numbers that I have. So like, just keep that in mind. I mean, if I would have told my mom this and been like 10 years younger, she'd be like, that's very unsafe of you, but you know, apparently I'm an adult. So anyway, so just keep that in mind. Like I went into this pretty crazy situation, met these people. Then we drove an hour and a half north up to Estes Park with someone that I, once again, had only met in my interview process, driving the car and started building these relationships. And so like, just keep that in mind as I talk about processes, because a lot of our processes are very non-traditional. We truly believe that let's get something in mind, start thinking about it and just start testing and iterating on it and writing as we go and like developing those processes as we go. Whereas traditionally in community, what I've seen at least is that you have to think about it. And then sometimes you have to pray about it. And then you have to talk to 15 other stakeholders about it. And it gets very political sometimes of trying to get their check marks and approval. And then you present it to your community and see what they think about it and hope that you're on the right same wavelength as them. And then you can start doing it. Luckily in the realms that I work in, that's not really our case right now. And so I knew that community was super important. I knew that they wanted it pretty quickly. And where it was really cool was the processes to create that community was completely up to me. And so the things that I had to keep in mind was speed to delivery and levels of effort. I had to keep in mind potential programming. And so when I thought of all these things, we ended up coming up with launching the community in a week. And I know that sounds crazy because it is crazy. But where it's not as crazy is because we really wanted this community to be member-led and let our members have ownership of it. So whenever we launched it, we let our members choose our community values in hopes that by them choosing those values, they felt more intertwined with the community. They have more ownership. They have more of a desire to see those values upheld. And it's totally different whenever it's the members choosing it, because it's something that they actually care about and they actually want. And so like, those are the processes that helped us figure out like, how do we even build this? And really we said, we want to build it with our community members and we want to build it for them and with them and by them. And so that actually changed how we did our normal processes. it wasn't all the internal stakeholders. Instead, it was our community stakeholders. And that was really cool.
That's amazing. And now I'm really curious if you would dive into a side kind of rabbit hole for a second. What is one way that you all bring your community values to life that were co-created with your community members?
Perfect. Okay, great question. So when we asked our members what values were most important to them, we thought about this, like how could they replicate this? And what does this actually look like within the community? And so some of the values that are really important is we disagree with ideas, not with people. And we try to help others. And there's a whole slew I can send out, but disagreeing with ideas, not people, that's something that's been really huge, because everybody in demand gen marketing is testing on LinkedIn, different types of paid social, organic social, all these things. And what we've seen is so many people are getting a wide variety of results. And so it's been really cool, especially in our roundtables, is people are having discussions saying, no, that's not what's happening to us, or like, that's a stupid idea. But then like the conversations is just so respectful, and it's so geared towards people who are wanting to learn and grow, that like, I don't even have to be a part of that conversation, you know, especially with our roundtables. Like, we have members raising their hands to facilitate that because one of our core values is being an owner. And so they see that as an opportunity to have ownership of the community, but also to help make it successful too. And it's just, it's really cool. Like, those two core values, I really think, are what we see the most in the community.
That's amazing. And also, third side benefit for you is you get time back in your day.
Yes. Barely.
Yeah. Hey, every little bit counts.
So. It does. It definitely does.
Yeah. Well, so you just shared a little bit about how it was really designed, demand was. And now I'm really curious, like, what have been some of your quick wins and how that helped you continue to grow the community to where it is today now?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the quick wins in the community. Well, for me, one of the things, and I was just talking with a community member who wants to build a community this morning about this. One of the things that's been really important for me, and one of the reasons why we built the way we did with starting with a beta and then like doing invite only and then officially launching at the Demand Conference this year. There's a lot of psychology behind community behaviors, whether it's a B2B SaaS community on Slack or if it's a community of nomad travelers or anything in between, is members, once they see certain behaviors, they replicate those. Ideally, they're replicating them because they're learning from them. And if you do like micro exposure through the community and you're only bringing in a handful of people at a time, it's building better behaviors and habits that'll transform to long-term engagement and community growth. And so for me, that's been a huge win, is seeing how, because we grew a little slower and we're about 1,000 members in 3 months, I'm really happy with that since we just officially opened it for everyone. Thank you this past
Yay,
month.
Congratulations.
So I'm really happy with that. But because of how we grew so intentionally that way, we're seeing a lot of growth. Like, we have about 60% of our members are active. And then of that, we've got about a 45% super user rating of like members that are super users, which is huge for me. And so that's been a really big win. Another really big win, once again, is just having members that want to raise hands. And so having them in, everyone that really knows me knows I'm a planner. So we're already planning into March 2023 right now of different types of programming, which I'm really stoked about. And a lot of it is very much community led, or, hey, that was a great discussion. You know, would love for you to come share this in a masterclass, and people get really excited about that. So I think that's been a really good win for us. But I also think one of the coolest wins we had was somebody got targeted from a Zoom ad, and they were asking about it in the community. And we reached out to the Zoom VP of marketing and said, hey, you know, we're having this conversation. We'd love for you guys to weigh in on it. Like, do you have someone on your team that we can bring in? And so we brought in two of their demand gen folks. And one of the guys actually did like a whole Loom video of like the thought processes behind it and different perspectives that they had to consider and obstacles and how their how that campaign actually trailed out to be. And so it was so cool because that's what we want in our community. We want to see these like in-depth conversations and like all this meat of how things happen and why they happen. And so like, honestly, I think that was one of the biggest wins for me is just like, that's all I ever am working towards. And so having that happen, especially organically, is like really stinking cool for me.
I totally agree that it's awesome too. I'm over here just being like, that is one really bomb cool video.
It was really cool. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Then like, it, what I thought was even cooler was by the time that person came in and made that video, there was like 15 comments on that thread. And it wasn't like, oh, following, like it was really needy stuff. And then he posts that video and then it's like another 15 comments. And I'm like, from all different people, you know, that's what we work towards is those like life-changing moments. And I know it's silly to say like, when marketing ad could be life-changing, but for some of these marketers, like that could be the one thing that helps them keep their job this year, especially with all the cuts going on. So it was really cool to see that.
It's also, I think, really cool to kind of get like the behind the scenes element of it too, of like that Loom when you were describing like all these different perspectives and things that they had considered, like getting that thought process. It's one thing to say like, here's how we executed it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's another to say like, here's how we thought about it and executed it and how it's doing if they shared that too. Like each part of that to me is like really cool, but the whole thing together kind of tells that like story.
Well, and then like, because of the neediness and because it's something so different, our community referrals went up from that, which is huge for me because I'm like, this is exactly what people are wanting. And they're wanting an opportunity to talk with people that they fanboy, fangirl over because they're so excited. And this is like, this is the place that they're able to do that. And how cool is that, that we get to create that for them? So to me, that's amazing.
I 1000% agree. 1000%. But speaking of programs and everything that you all are doing over at Demand, I recently saw on LinkedIn that you launched the Women in Marketing program.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious now, like, one, why did y'all believe it was important to create a space dedicated to women in B2B marketing? And like, how's that been going so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I am so excited about it. It's only been a few weeks. So, you know, we're still kind of working some kinks out, but that's one of the reasons, you know, back to how we're building is building by our community members. And I had a few members ask about like, if we had any resources like that. And so we finally were like, you know what, I think it's important for us to have an opportunity or a way for women to help support each other. Especially once again, B2B SaaS is still like a male dominated industry. And it is what it is, right? So, you know, you kind of have to deal with that. And what I saw in sales was that while there were so many female advocates for building room at the table for all these women, like they didn't actually do that. And like, it never really happened. And what I saw instead was a lot more competition and animosity towards each other. And it was really disappointing. And so I wanted to take what I saw and make it better. And I saw an opportunity in marketing for us to do something like that, that our members were already asking for. And so I'm going to pull up my Slack and see, because I was really excited about the description of the channel for it. And it was, here we go. My description says, you are not alone. Connect with your peers and learn from others as we add more seats to the table for all of us. And I thought that was really important because so often, especially in marketing, it can be a team of one and you're dealing with so much and you're getting more and more dumped on you. And then you're also dealing with unequal pay or gender biases or whatever else that it can be that you're dealing with. And you feel so alone. And that's so tough. And so I wanted to have a place where people, where women in marketing could come together and know that like, you're not alone. There's people that have been through exactly what you're dealing with. And I guess a quick win from that was once we opened the channel, I just kind of like loosely announced it in the community, just opened it, added some of the gals in there. And one of the moms like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'd love to hear how y'all plan for your maternity leave because I'm about to go on maternity leave. I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like, no one teaches that, you know, no one teaches you that in school. HR doesn't teach you that. Like, you know, most of your bosses may not even know how to aid you in that and support you with that. And so it's a really cool opportunity. And so we are planning our kickoff webinar right now. We're planning some for December and January, and we're hopefully going to be doing a half day summit in the spring, which I'm really excited about with an in-person element. So sponsors, let me know. but it's just important. And just like for anyone else, you know, it's important to know, like, you're not alone, and there's times where you can feel that way. I know we all have that moment where we're like, oh, everything's worse, and our Avril Lavigne crying in the bathroom. And so it's like, why not use the opportunity to create a space for everybody that can be struggling and be able to support them the best that we can. I'm not saying it's gonna be perfect, but, you know, hopefully our members can see my heart behind it. And I think that's what really matters.
For sure. First off, I love that. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. And two, I really like the element of, like, it might not be perfect, but even just like helping that, like, 1-3% for, like, especially someone who maybe is, like, as you were saying, like, in some of those tougher situations and scenarios that they're working through, can mean like the world to them.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you saying that, and 100% believe in you all. You're going to build an amazing space for women in B2B marketing, for sure.
I'm excited. It'll be fun. And it's been really cool seeing some of the girls, women in there. And once again, like, building with our community members in mind, like, the first thing I did was, hey, what are you most interested in? And, like, what do you want to see most of? Do you want to do AMAs with VPs and CMOs and people ask them questions? Do you want to do roundtables or webinars or masterclasses? Like, what would you get the most value out of? And so I think that's what's been so cool with all of it is, once again, hopefully, you know, they see my heart in it, but then it's also stuff that they actually care about and they want to see happen, and which hopefully will help keep it to be successful. So we love that.
Yes, we do.
Program.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, speaking of success, we're now going to transition to one of my favorite conversations, and you already brought it up too. So how are you showing ROI for your community building strategy at Metadata?
Yeah, absolutely. As everybody knows, ROI in community is one of the hardest things to track. And it can be very difficult to even try and make sense of the numbers in a way that is understandable. Some of you are like data analytic nerds, and that's awesome. I am not blessed with that skill. And so I use an amazing tool I'm a big fan called Common Room. And that's been so helpful to help me really understand, like, what's happening in the community. And so when it comes to ROI, I was just talking to my boss about this on, like, attribution and all of that. So we're using InfiniGrow to help track with our attribution, because I've seen a lot of conversations from the community actually help with closing deals, or like being an extra warm touch for that contact. So even today we saw a screenshot come in from one of our salespeople that I was so excited about. And it was about a person saying they were so excited for a demo with us. And so that was a really cool thing because I didn't even see that in the conversation. And so having those moments is really important. We are tracking with attribution. We're also tracking with Salesforce campaigns. And so making sure that our members are tagged to the community campaign, as well as they have like a little checkbox if they're an active member or not. So ideally, if someone is a prospect or whatnot, and our seller sees that they're not a member, you know, that's an invite that they can send and a slightly warmer touch from a non-threatening position. So those have been really, really important for us. It's also, I don't know how much of a great ROI measurement this is, but I really enjoy looking at the sentiment. I really, really enjoy seeing how the conversations are geared on if they're positive or negative and what makes them negative. And so what I'm able to do from there is bring some of that information and bring it to our sales enablement to then also create different types of collateral that our sellers can actually be using. So that's a little bit more relevant, which is huge. You know, as an ex-salesperson, we've all had like the stupid scripts that nobody really cares about. You'll get 1 in 100 calls. And so it's nice to actually have something that's a little bit more relevant like that.
We all love relevancy because it makes sense. Actually, we're just like little fans, little teeny fans of relevancy. But thank you. Seriously, that was great to hear. And I love the fact how you described like sentiment and it's like the why, and then how can we potentially like turn this into something more meaningful? Like, is it something that our sales enablement and sales professionals can do more like upfront? Or is it something that's more like community controlled in which like we have to dig in further in like the community team? I love how you like dig into that. I think that that makes a lot of sense and just a big fan of that idea.
I am too. So we're in good company then.
Glad to hear you're a fan of your ideas and your work. Well, to wrap up the episode, what are 3 B2B community trends that you're watching for in 2023 and beyond?
So I think this is a tough question because I think a lot of it's actually geared on how much money people have to spend on community. So a community trend that we should look out for is community budgets. I'm just kidding. But really, we probably should look out for that because I imagine most people are getting their budgets cut right now. Community-led growth, of course, I will always say that. I think as tools are becoming more accessible for tracking how community is impacting the organization, I think that's actually going to help drive community-led growth, as well as how prominent other organizations are with sharing what's happening in their communities. Because, you know, we see Salesforce all the time and all the great stuff that they're doing there, but most of us don't have access to a 30-person team and millions of dollars to help support those efforts. So I think as we do like more publication of, or, you know, communities like similar to mine and others, I think people will start seeing like how we can actually help move the bottom line and then want to shift towards a community-led growth model. So I'd say that's a huge one. I don't know if people have talked about this before, so hopefully we're getting a little inside scoop here. Joel, your face looks so excited.
I literally am like, what is Katie about to say right now?
So one of the things that I've been considering is how community could be used as a service. So it's a little different, and it's more about like how we're creating more value and in like building business off of that. So I think community as a service could actually be a new trend that we start seeing, especially through like community programming, once again, access to some of those tools. We actually already kind of see a little bit of it in the customer success communities, where they're limiting ticket times, amount of tickets, and providing like better service for their customers. But I think for larger trend communities, I'd be very curious about community as a service. And then as far as community programming, which I love, in person, I think it's back. People are so tired of sitting in front of their computers. And we were just talking about this. My boss made a really good point that a lot of people are back in the office and they don't have the luxury to sit in front of their computer for a full day event anymore. And so it's a lot easier to get them for an hour or like a micro summit where it's a 3-hour thing and you can kind of pick and choose what you want. So I think those are kind of the top 3 things: community-led growth, community as a service, and in-person being back. So,
and then your 3A is budget.
3A is budget. Yeah. It's my little caveat.
I mean, I think it's a very fair caveat. So I'm here for it and I fully support it too. With that though, Katie, again, thank you so much for being on the Community-Led Growth Show. If people want to follow and or connect with you, what are the best channels or handles for them to do so?
Yep, I am lame and I am not on Twitter at all. So I just can't keep up with it. Like I'm not great at it. So if you want to find me on LinkedIn, that's the best. Community-Katie is my LinkedIn URL. Or just find me Katie Ray, MBA, Texas Tech. So I'm right there, easy peasy. And yeah, or if you ever want to email me, katie.ray@metadata.io, always willing to chat with folks. So
awesome. Thank you so much and have a great day, Katie.
Thanks, Joel.